Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather and worship both here in our sanctuary, here in St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, and virtually all around the world. We do have folks who join in from mostly around Ontario, a few around Canada, but we do have some international customers as well. So I know Jamila, amongst others, joins us frequently. She's always a week late, so I don't know what she's going to do. She's going to get two Christmases this year. You're going to have to send her two gifts because she'll celebrate Christmas on December 25th, and then she'll celebrate Christmas the next week when we worship on just December 25th. So you're in trouble this year. We welcome all who are gathering to worship. It's a pleasure to be able to offer this opportunity. As we come this morning, a few brief announcements. As you may have noted on the slide, offering envelopes for the 2023 calendar year, which is fast approaching, are in the McClellan Room and can be picked up following worship this morning. Next Sunday is our congregational pageant, and just to add a little bit of joy and levity, if that wasn't enough, it's also your ugly Christmas sweater morning. So if you've got an ugly Christmas sweater, next week is the week to wear it. I'm sorry, Lise. Lise didn't think my ugly Christmas sweater 3 years ago was ugly enough, but I haven't been able to get a new one yet. So it's not going to be up to your standards of ugliness, but I will do my best. My wife still thinks it's ugly, for what that's worth. And so please plan to attend and be part of that special service next Sunday morning. And then special services. Christmas Eve, December 24th, which this year falls on a Saturday at 7 p.m. in the evening. And then the odd thing for us, because we don't normally gather on Christmas morning, but this year Christmas morning is also Sunday morning. And so we will be here Sunday morning, December 25th at 10 o'clock in the morning. Please remember that. And we'll also be here on New Year's Day morning at 10 o'clock in the morning. So behave yourselves. And finally, we are making our way towards our goal for Presbyterian sharing this year. As always seems to be the case, you know, we were kind of lagging a little bit there as we moved into the last quarter of the year, and we've made great progress so far. We've come close to the goal, but there's still about $3,000 left. So if you can help us in any way to inch towards that target, we'd be most grateful. Presbyterian Sharing, for those who aren't aware, is that agency of the church that does our mission work. So it is how we support our church workers who are working in various specialized ministries here in Canada, mostly with Indigenous people, but in inner city missions and other things as well here in Canada. And then it's everything that we do overseas, working with church partners to assist them in aid and development, in teaching in theological seminaries in places like Malawi. We do a number of things like that across the world, and we support all of those things through Presbyterian Sharing. So it is a very important part of the giving of our church. And I said that was the last thing, but I lied, because I always do. I put this up here because I didn't want to forget it. The newest edition of Presbyterians Connect, which is our denominational newspaper, is on the table outside of Jessica's office downstairs and can be picked up after the after worship this morning. There's always a wealth of things in Presbyterian Connect. A good deal of information this year, or this issue, is on the World Council of Churches most recent assembly, which I think was in Switzerland. But there's all kinds of other things in there as well. So do grab a copy of that and see what's going on. And if the stack runs out, let me know, because we do have more. And that's all the announcements. I turned to the choir downstairs and I said, there's nobody in this room who's lighting the Advent candle this morning, is there? Because we went through a long, long list of people, and I think the last communication I had from Jessica was, I don't have anybody to light the candle, but you will figure it out. Which I will. She thought I had a plan. There's nobody in this room seated that is scheduled to light the candle? Well, guess what? The minister gets to light the Advent candle this morning. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. And I'll have to use both of my voices, because it's written for two voices. Isaiah the prophet declares his message of joy. You who thirst, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. God has said, incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples and a leader and commander for the peoples. Jesus gives to us living waters and says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. As we come this morning, I get to light the pink candle. We talked about that last week if you weren't paying attention. We light the candle of joy. And we say together the prayer. Let us pray. God of joy, you give water to the thirsty and food to those who hunger. May we receive the coming of Jesus with joy, that we may worship you in spirit and truth and never thirst again. Amen. This morning's opening hymn is number 782 in the Book of Praise. Isaiah the prophet has written of old, number 782. Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sins that we might find forgiveness and new life in Christ. Let us say together the prayer as it appears before you on the screens. Holy God, righteous judge, have mercy upon us. We have been proud in the thoughts of our hearts. You would be right to scatter us. We have grasped at worldly power. You could surely choose to bring us down. We have allowed the rich to prosper and the poor to wither away. Have mercy on us, Lord. Remind us of your grace in ages past. Humble us that we may find our strength in you. Kindle in us love for all your love, that we may join you in your work of mercy, redemption, and joy. Amen. Friends, God's mercy is new and fresh every morning. God indeed is faithful and just, and offers pardon and release to all who will turn to him. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn is number 120, Hope is a Star, or the words will appear before you on the screen. Please be seated. Good morning. I moved. Surprise. I haven't done that in a while. And I'm down here because this is a special morning, and this morning we're being joined by a special friend. So I'm hoping Charlotte will appear on the screen. Well, I got a voice. Well, I almost had a Charlotte, I think. Oh, there she is. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Okay, I better turn around. This is going to be so confusing for me. But Charlotte McEwen, who is known to many of us here, is the recipient this year of the Faye Moss Bursary. And so that's why Charlotte is joining us. Looks like she's maybe at work, too.
Well, I'm at home, but I'm barely home. I was at work overnight.
All right. Well, good morning or good night?
Good night is right.
A brief background on the award. On March the 3rd of 2020, Faye Moss was taken from her loving husband, George, her family, and her faith family at St. John's Presbyterian Church. And on the anniversary of her death, George established the Faye Moss Bursary to honor her memory. Through this bursary, young people who have been associated with St. John's are to be supported in their pursuit of higher education in the areas of ministry or medicine. The $500 bursary is awarded to a candidate who is a communicant member of St. John's and is enrolled in a medical doctorate program at a Canadian university or is a candidate for the ministry, certified by the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry and attending one of our denominational theological colleges. Charlotte is currently in her second year of postgraduate medical education at the Michael G. DeGroote School of Medicine at McMaster University in Hamilton, and she is training to be a cardiac surgeon. Charlotte completed her Bachelor of Nursing at Lakehead University in Thunder Bay before pursuing further medical pursuit, and she has a tremendous work and volunteer ethic. In addition to her studies and training, she teaches procedural skills to medical students at McMaster and represents her peers on the governance committee as the Surgical Foundation's resident representative. On the national scale, she co-chairs the Cardiac Surgery Trainee Program of the Canadian Cardiovascular Congress in Ottawa and mentors medical students through the Canadian Federation of Medical Students and serves as a trainee representative for the Canadian Cardiovascular Critical Care Society. Those of you who have known Charlotte for many years here at St. John's will not be surprised by any of these amazing things that she has accomplished. And while at St. John's, you will also know she was a regular participant in Christmas pageants. Don't know if you missed the announcements, pageants next week. You'll have to tune in.
I hear.
I keep turning around to talk to you. This is just... Sorry,
yeah,
folks.
Lovely. It feels like eye contact. See? No problem.
That's why I can't be a weatherman. I could never do this. Now, where was I on my important list of things? Yes, a participant in the pageant, in the Gracefield weekends, and other youth activities, and the choir here at the church, as well as in her high school. If you are looking for someone who is always positive and upbeat, you will find that person in Charlotte. She has a warm smile, as we can all see, for everyone she encounters and brings joy to every situation she is in. I'm sure that her mother, Carolyn, and her brother, Jamie, are very proud of her, as are we here at St. John's. I also know that George is very happy to have Charlotte receiving this important award in honor of Faye, as he and Faye spent many time together with Charlotte's family. So we are pleased this year to present the 2022 Faye Moss Bursary to Dr. Charlotte McEwen. And this would be the point, yes. And this would be the point where I would walk over to Charlotte and shake her hand and hold up and hand her this plaque and hold it up and hand you the check. Check's in the mail. I've been assured that that's actually the case. That's just not me saying it. But would you care to say anything, Charlotte?
I would just like to say thank you very much to the Moss family for this support you know, I am very, very privileged and very lucky to do the work that I do. I absolutely love medicine, and I've been very grateful to the church community for all of your support throughout all the years, especially with my mom, who has been kind of going through a rough time recently. So please thank you very much for your support of my family and of me. I'm very grateful. It's nice to see you all virtually.
Yeah, soon we'll have a camera that will actually let you see them too, but we don't have that quite yet, but that's coming.
Apple in the corner there.
Yes. Yeah, you're actually seeing Cynthia's head, I think, is who you're getting to see. So, but thank you for joining us, Charlotte. And it's been, I like your plaid hat.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I wear them every day.
Good, good. Now, thank you for joining us and for being this year's recipient. It's been an honor to have you with us this morning virtually.
Thank you very much.
And now I think Dan's going to make you go away.
Really?
Either that or we get to watch her through the rest of worship, which would be really, really awkward. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life. By the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us of your promises, that we might hear your truth and enjoy you forever. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
First reading is from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 13. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Now you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it break forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be the Lord for our memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Second reading is responsive. It's from the Old Testament, Psalm 32. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
While I kept silent, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you.
Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Third reading is from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And the final reading is from the New Testament, John chapter 4, verses 7 to 26. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God for his word to us.
And our hymn is number 122, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We will sing verses 1 to 3 and then verse 7. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know. Is it just me, or do the news stories seem different as we're doing all this rushing around that we do in the pre-Christmas season? Or maybe it is that the media places more emphasis on certain types of stories at this time of year than another time. Or is it that there's an actual spike in certain sorts of crimes at this time of year than another? Is it all three, or is it none of the above? I don't know. But in this past week, it just seems to me that there has been almost a daily increase in the number of stories in the news about human trafficking and missing and murdered Aboriginal and Indigenous women, and just plain old regular run-of-the-mill violence against women. This past week, our calendars rolled past December 6th, and once more we remembered the 14 women who were killed at the Polytechnic Montreal in 1989 while doing nothing more than sitting in a classroom. December the 6th, though, is something else, too. It's also the Feast of St. Nicholas. And if you don't know the story of St. Nicholas, and most Presbyterians usually don't, because we're not saint-y sort of people. But in some traditions, St. Nicholas Day is a big deal. In my former pastoral charge, because I had the opportunity to become acquainted with lots of folks who were of Dutch extraction, and for the Dutch, St. Nicholas is a big day. St. Nicholas is the day when families gather in homes and in their churches as people gather to greet St. Nicholas, who brings gifts. Right? For us, it's Christmas Day, but in the Dutch tradition, it's on St. Nicholas Day that celebration happens. The story of St. Nicholas goes back to the 3rd century when the Acts of Nicholas of Bari, the bishop of Myra in Asia Minor, became known. Nicholas was born to a family of wealth. They were Greek Christians, and after the death of his parents, Nicholas, because he was a bishop and really had no need for the inheritance he received from them, sought to distribute the wealth of his families to those who lived in need. And probably the most famous story of Nicholas' generosity is this one. The most famous story tells of a man who did not have enough money to pay the dowry for his 3 daughters. Unable to be married because of the lack of a dowry, it was likely that these 3 daughters would have been forced into prostitution. And so to save them from this fate, Nicholas visited the house under the darkness of night and threw a purse of money into the house. The father used the money for the dowry for his eldest daughter. And once she was married, Nicholas visited 2 more times, giving gifts of money so that each of this man's daughters could have a dowry and therefore be eligible for marriage and not the other fate that might well have become of them. Odd, isn't it, that we remember St. Nicholas and the National Day of Remembrance and Action Against Violence Against Women on the same day? I'm sure it's not intentional, but it fits. But sometimes things do not change as much as we hope, do they? 1700 years after St. Nicholas, and still women are bought and sold. That's what we find in the rest of the news this week. They're treated with utter disregard because such are the wages of empire. This is what we discover in that Old Testament lesson that Trish read for us this morning from Isaiah chapter 25. As we read these words this morning, things are changing for the children of God who are living in exile. New hope is dawning. Freedom is on the way. You see, the Babylonian Empire is on the wane, and a new empire is coming in like the tide, the empire of the Persians. And a new ruler along with them, a man called Cyrus. And with this change in the geopolitical landscape, so too is going to come freedom for the children of God. But the question that underlies this text that we have read, this wonderful text, is this. As the children of God, after they have been freed, who will they be? You see, they face a genuine identity crisis. The children of God had lived in Babylon, that foreign land, for generations. They had married into Babylonian families. They had accommodated Babylonian social interactions and religious practices into their own social and religious fabric. And so the question was, would the children of God, when they were set free, remain and live in the land of the empire that had subjugated their forefathers those hundreds of years before? Or would they return to the land that God had given to their ancestors, running all the way back the promise made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Would they once more claim that covenant relationship with God and make it their own? That's what is in that portion of scripture that we read. The ways of empire and the ways of the world. Come and enjoy food and water without price. Do not stay in the land that will charge you and sell you food and water that will not satisfy. It's about the commodification of things and of people and the seeking to ascribe a price to everything. God invites them to come and drink of the free water. Ho, all who thirst, come and drink without price. In contrast, the ways of God are the ways of life which have been given to us all, and they're free. And yet, even life in the promised land, you know, it wasn't going to be perfect, as we continued to see. There was no guarantee that the people would live in and show forth the mercy of God. Mercy is often an aspired to goal, not always realized, and yet we keep the aspiration. You see, we leap forward another, not quite 1,000 years, but another 600 years to the story of Jesus and his encounter of the woman at the well. And this story is riddled with little petty jealousies and little rivalries throughout it. Did you notice that? That seek to claim a place of privilege for one group of people over another, for one person over another. It's about being more valued than another. It comes at my prestige comes at your expense. So in this passage we see this little dialogue about Jews versus Gentiles, about men and women, and in this case, all the rest of society and this cheap woman. It's amazing how much the church has surmised about this woman through the years, when we really know so little. Even her name is lost in the sands of history. All we know is that she is this Samaritan woman, and that she came to the well at midday to draw water. Now that was important. It's an important fact in the story that she comes at midday. Because you don't come to the well at midday to do the hard work of lifting the pail full of water up from the ground, to put it into your own container and then carry that back. As we often see, you know, those pictures from other places in the world of women with huge gourd-shaped containers carrying them on their head or under their arms. All the other women in this world at this time would come and draw water in the early morning before the heat of the day had begun. And they would come and they would draw water, and no doubt they would share news about what was going on in their community, in their own lives and in the lives of others. Some might call it news, others might call it gossip. But this woman, she waited. She waited until all of the others had left before she went to the well to draw. Did she simply refrain from going until she knew it was safe? Or did she perhaps simply stand in the shadows of a doorway and watch and wait until the last straggler had gone off before she then approached the well with her container? In either case, the reality is that in this community in which this woman lives, she is invisible. She is not seen at all. But rather than coming to share in a little gossip with the other women, she knew that if she was there, she was the content of the gossip not the sharer. And she was the recipient of the hostile stares. And then we have this story. And in this story of an invisible woman, Jesus sees her and speaks to her as they both are two people standing beside a well. And as would naturally flow, Jesus asks the woman for a drink. A very natural request for a person who's standing next to a well, don't you think? But quickly the conversation turns. It turns from just a draft of water from deep in the ground to the sip of living water that will quench a thirsting, not of a parched throat, but of this woman's very soul. A thirsting for acceptance. Thirsting for forgiveness. Thirsting for reconciliation with herself, with her neighbors, yes, but also a thirsting for her reconciliation with God. As this reading that we heard concludes, all of the petty jealousies and all of the rivalries that have been earlier defined the interactions of people in this story, every one of them falls away. The woman confesses her belief, the Samaritan belief in the coming of the Messiah. I know, she says, that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And then John tells us, Jesus responds, I am he. I am the one who is speaking to you. All those petty jealousies and rivalries between Samaritans and Jews. Gone. And in the subsequent verses, and this morning I regret the fact that I omitted those verses from the readings that you heard, but 3 or 4 weeks ago when I was selecting the text for this morning, they didn't seem so important. And I knew it was a long text, so I didn't want Trish to have to read too many things. So I went, I can stop at verse 26. I should have kept going for about 3 more verses. Sorry, Trish. And I apologize to you, because what happens next is, you see, the lady goes out into the town and she tells everyone about this man that she has met at the well and what he has said about her. She says, he even knows who I am. That I have been married and the one I'm with now is not my husband. She goes out and tells everybody about Jesus, and all of these people from the village, all of these people that she has avoided, and let's be honest, all of these people who would have avoided her, all come out and gather at the well to hear the teachings of Jesus about the kingdom of God. As we come this morning, bringing the gifts of our lives to share with those who are in need and who will struggle this Christmas time. As we remember women and children in shelter this holiday season and how our world too often devalues women, we offer hope in the bringing of these gifts. And yet, I don't know, is it just me? And yet, I know that this time last year, we were doing the same thing. And at this time, in a year from now, we'll be here again. Now, don't get me wrong. The wonderful gifts that you have brought and your wonderful generosity is a good thing. It is good to share with others, to open our hearts in some way, and to show to others that they matter. That in a world in which they are mostly invisible or irrelevant or worthless, but they matter to us and they have worth. Worth to us, and more importantly, they are worthy in the eyes of God. And yet, there's more, isn't there? Deep down, we know it. We know it around us. We know it for ourselves. We long for the day when all people will be welcomed into the presence of God. As we flip back to Isaiah chapter 55 and that great image that is presented there, the image of the feast of the kingdom of God. Isaiah doesn't, you know, take a great big neon sign and point to it in this text. He has other places where he does, actually, but not here. But he's talking about the feast of the kingdom of God. Something beyond this earth awaits for the children of God if they reclaim their heritage and their identity. Of that day when we will once more experience God's everlasting covenant, and we will eat rich things and wine and food without price in the kingdom that God has prepared for us. You know, it's the, we're all going to get in a bus and we're all going to go up to the Chateau Laurier and we're all just going to go and have whatever we want. Sound good? Great. Let's get the bus and let's go. But that is the image of the kingdom of God that gets presented to us time and again in Scripture. The wonderful things, the rich, fat animals. You know, when you hear these passages in the laws about the gifts that are offered, you know, burnt offerings and blood offerings and all that stuff, and usually we just go, ugh. But the reality is, it's like the other day I was walking up the street, and it's strange for this time of year, I know, but I could smell somebody barbecuing, right? You know that smell when somebody in the neighborhood is barbecuing and you're not? That's what Scripture is talking about when they talk about the burnt offerings. It is that smell. And it is that richness, and it is that sharing that is part of the great feast of the kingdom that God is preparing for us. And it is that, because if you're like me, when you smell that smell, it's like, oh, you know, it's that longing. It's that longing that defines the season of Advent for us. As we wait once more for the coming of the Messiah, knowing that when Christ comes, and each year as we celebrate the coming of Christ, we are moving, even if just so small a step, we are moving closer to the kingdom of God, where all will be welcomed and all will enjoy the richness of our God. Thanks be to God for his great love to us, shown this day and always. And let us be loving of others in the name of Christ. Amen. Friends, hearing the word of our Lord, let us then respond with our tithes and our offerings, sharing of all that we have for the sake of the world. All that we have comes from you. You bless our lives with the joy of thanksgiving and shower upon us the help we need every hour. Lead us. Guide us. Use us and these gifts for the sake of the life of the world. In the name of the one who comes to usher in your kingdom of peace, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us continue in prayer. Holy God, our rock and our Redeemer, we give you thanks that your righteousness is unshakable. Your faithfulness is sure. You have established us on the foundation of your holy word, and so that we may stand firm in faith and be steadfast in your service. Hear us now as we bear before you the prayers of the world. And through Christ, be swift to answer them. You, O God, make the trees to swirl and dance. And we give you thanks for the wonder and diversity of your creation, for your towering fir trees, for the wonder of your mountains, for your provision of plants that bring forth fruit in due season. Gladden the hearts of all people so that out of gratitude, we will together care for earth, our home, with wisdom. God of justice, you who give tradition and renewal, stability and change, bedrock and shifting sands, we pray for the nations of the world, for presidents, prime ministers, dictators and governors, for civil servants, judges, parliaments, and protesters, for people who work for peace and those who imprison, for those whose struggles we cannot see, and for those whose struggles are ours. God of weary years, we pray for the elderly and those who are nearing death this day. For children who are hungry and frightened, for refugees and people whose homes are washed away in floods, for those who have demeaning work, those who have no work, and all people who work in physical pain. We pray for those we name now silently. Guide and move your people so that we may know our labors and are not in vain. Ancient of Days, you know the wisdom of the ancestors on whose faith we stand. For all the good fruit your people have borne, we give you thanks. Make us worthy of their lives and trusting in your promises. In your great mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to you all those for whom we pray, clinging to your promises through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear us now as we continue in prayer in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 118. Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes. Hymn number 118. Awake, for Christ is coming to gather us to his welcome table, where we will enjoy the feast of the kingdom of God with joy. And may the grace of Christ surround you, the love of God uphold you, and the Holy Spirit spark you with unquenchable fire as you wait and work for the kingdom to come. Amen.